You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
Morning. I'm so grateful for the short time my son's back in town. We needed him today. We just put him to work. So the computer system he built had little problems this morning, and he's here to hopefully pull it back together. So I'm glad for that. Well, I want to start by introducing you to our new neighbors. So I have a little video of our new neighbors that have just moved in. So I haven't named them yet. There's six of them. But these are, if you don't know, fox pups. A den has been formed under our deck. And so these little guys are often prancing around in the yard next door. Aren't they adorable? Yes. So they're very cute. Well, so the next picture I have is of their mama. Okay, so one day Ben and I were out watching the adorable little fox pups prancing around in the side yard, and the mama fox was kind of far away, watching us very carefully, and she slowly got closer and closer until she was like sitting there just staring at us. And so I had researched that typically foxes are more afraid of humans than the other way around, but this is a mama fox that's taking care of her babies. And you know what mamas are like, right? And so I was a little nervous. Like, I don't know. She just kept getting closer and closer. So I said, Ben, I'm a little nervous. Let's go inside. And we were sitting on this table in our yard next to those of you who've been around a while, or next to our conversation couch on our deck. And so this next picture shows that once we went inside, the fox decided to jump the fence and sit right where we were sitting. That is where we were sitting watching her. And we're up and inside now safely looking down at her. And it was like her way of saying, just so you know, I can jump this fence, and I'm going to perch myself right where you were and keep an eye on you. And so, anyway, this mama fox, you'll see her often. She comes out at night a lot, roams the neighborhood. She is hunting and bringing back food for her babies. She is diligently watching all the time. And it's really interesting to see, because what will happen is sometimes you'll see the babies out on the street or playing, and then if one of us comes out, or a person or a dog or someone comes by, you hear her. So you know that song, what does the fox say? We now know what foxes sound like. She makes like this weird sound, and the babies go scurrying back into their little den.
What does it sound like?
I will video. Oh boy. Okay, there you go. I will videotape it for you and let you know what the fox says. But it anyway announces it, and they go into the den, and it's really sweet. But so I was praying last week for somebody and who was just going through a hard time, and I had the image of this mama fox come in my head. And my sense for this person was that God was saying, like, I am like this mama fox. Like, you're going through, you know, you might have all this stuff and you feel like you have to be in control and in charge and keeping all the balls in the air and keeping it all together. But even while you're sleeping, I am roaming around. I am watching for your enemies. I am protecting the den. I am providing for you. I'm going out at night, getting your food and bringing it back. Like, I'm on high alert and all to protect you and think about you and take care of you. And you can relax a little bit. You can let your guard down. And so as we're kind of moving into Mother's Day, these kind of metaphors of this sort of maternal heart of God were fresh in my mind. And so I don't know if you're aware, but all throughout Scripture, Old and New Testament, there are images of the maternal heart of God for us. And so I just wanted to share a few of them that I really like. Isaiah 49:13 says, "Shout for joy, you heavens, rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me." Isaiah 66, 13, as a mother comforts her child, so I will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. And then, of course, Jesus is quoting from probably several psalms or places in the Old Testament. One of my favorites, Psalm 91, 4, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. He says in Matthew 23, 37, as he's weeping over Jerusalem, over his people, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. And so there's this just image of this gathering under the shadow of the wings of God. And I think we're even singing that song today that gets me every time, that where you find refuge under the shadow of his wings. And so I was just, you know, as I've been processing this series, we've been on empowerment, and we've been talking about things like spiritual gifts and healings and all these things. I felt like it was important to pause here and remind us why we think about what the motivation is for God releasing his spirit, what all of this is about. And it's about love. It's about his love for us. It's to relate to us. It's to be in relationship with us. It's about intimacy with us and with each other. I know some of you grew up in a similar kind of church background that I've had, and you might have grown up hearing the phrase often, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. But you might have been like, but how do I relate to God, who's spirit, right? How do I actually have a relationship? I can't like sit down and eat an actual meal with him, right? What, other than just reading about his life and about the things that Jesus did while he walked on the earth, how do I currently relate to a living God in my everyday life now? How do I interact and relate to him? And that's what this is all about. That's what it is all about when God released his spirit, so that we could actually have a dynamic relationship now. And that's what this whole empowerment series is about. It's about you having intimacy with the living God, who passionately loves you and desires to be intimate with you. And so God gave us himself in human form in the person of Jesus. And then following his resurrection and ascension into heaven, Jesus returned to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is not some force or mysterious substance. He is a person to know and to be known by. And so when I'm talking about these metaphors of the mama fox and these beautiful maternal metaphors in the Bible, I landed on one of my favorite metaphors when I think about my relationship with God that is helpful to me, and that is the metaphor of a shepherd. And so the shepherd metaphor, just so you know, is all through scriptures, is from the Old Testament all the way to Revelation. There's all these pictures of pointing to the Messiah in Isaiah 40:11. It says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And of course, many people are very familiar with Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And so all of these images finally culminate in the person of Jesus as he announces himself as the good shepherd. And so today, look with me in John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. It says, very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And then skipping down to verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And there's so much we could unpack. I mean, John chapter 10, if you just meditate on it, is almost like the entire Christian faith, like wrapped into one picture. But I want to focus today on our intimacy with the Spirit of Jesus, using this metaphor. So Jesus says he calls the sheep by name and leads them out, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Do you know his voice? Jesus says his sheep will never follow a stranger because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. So they can discern the voice of their shepherd from the voice of strangers. Jesus is saying here that if we belong to him, we can distinguish his voice from other voices, that we will know him. So do you know him? Not just about him, not just stories about when he walked the earth, but what he's doing right now in our midst, in your life, by his Spirit. When you walk into a space like today, when we worship, do you sometimes feel his presence? Maybe you feel moved by, in your emotions. Maybe you feel a little lighter. Maybe you have a sense of hope where you felt despair before. Maybe suddenly anxieties kind of settle a little bit and you feel some peace. Maybe you feel him in your body. Maybe you feel a little trembly in your actual physical body reacting to the presence of God. When you're doing something that's incongruent with the will of God, do you ever feel the grief of the Spirit in your gut? When you're spending time with God praying, do you ever sit in silence and just listen or journal what you think he might be saying or a sense of images or pictures going through your mind? Maybe he recalls a dream that you had where he was maybe speaking to you, or he brings images or movie titles, or brings a scripture to your mind. That's not just something he said at one time, but something he's saying to you right now for a situation you're in right now. This is what intimacy with the Holy Spirit feels like. This is what I know my sheep and my sheep know me feels like. It's not really meant to be complicated. And so since we're using a lot of animal metaphors today, I have another one for you. So I want to show you the love of my life. This is not the love of my life, but it's one of the loves of my life. Many of you have met my beloved fur baby, Sophie. And so Sophie, if you don't know, was a gift for our son, Ben, on his 9th birthday during the pandemic. We used some of our stimulus money and bought this beloved little girl, actually. But she has been aptly redesignated as my emotional support animal. Sophie has become my dog. And if any of you who are dog owners know that dogs are pack animals, so typically they will sense in a family who's the person most likely to keep me alive. And then they will attach themselves to that person. And so who's feeding me? Who's watering me? Who's walking me? Who's snuggling with me? And so I became that person in the home. And so Sophie is very attached to me. She wakes up when I wake up. She goes to bed when I go to bed. She follows me everywhere, and I mean everywhere. And she is very emotionally attached to me. She depends on me. She can predict my behavior. She trusts me. You can probably guess where I'm going with this metaphor, right? Sophie knows what my voice sounds like. She recognizes my face, even though she only sees in black and white. She probably recognizes my scent. She can predict my behavior. Right? But does Sophie match my intellect? I hope not. Right? Does she know my mind? Does she fully understand all of my choices or my viewpoint, my perspective, or why I do what I do when I do it? Of course not. But that doesn't prevent her from trusting me and following me wherever I go. We can follow the Holy Spirit without totally getting him, without sharing his wisdom, his understanding, his viewpoint. As Isaiah 55:9 says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's not about getting it right. It's not about always hearing just right and reacting just right. It's not about walking a tightrope. It's about being known by him and knowing him. It's about relating with him and the freedom and the joy that comes into a relationship. I had someone describe it once as a garden versus a tightrope. Tightrope, you're like, I gotta get this right. A garden means there's still boundaries around it, but there's freedom to roam and interact. And that's why I love the shepherd metaphor, because sheep are not the smartest animals. And they're just toddling along, and they know their shepherd's voice, and they know the shepherd's scent. And he's got this big staff, so when the sheep kind of start going the wrong way, the staff just brings them back, right? And if a sheep wanders way off, the Bible says the shepherd will leave all the sheep and go after the one that wanders off. And so the shepherd is leading. The shepherd's taking initiative. The shepherd's watching and protecting. And so following the good shepherd's not meant to be complicated. We don't have to be super smart or super holy or theologically sound, but it can still be personally challenging. Because like all meaningful relationships, we are meant to be changed and transformed by it. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And so we are invited to grow in our discernment of the voice of the good shepherd to distinguish his voice and activity from that of the thief. And the thief comes in very sneaky ways. The thief isn't obvious. So we're invited into a full life. And so today, I want to suggest that if you are desiring greater intimacy with the Holy Spirit, that you risk letting your guard down with him and each other, because intimacy requires risk and vulnerability. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit, like intimacy with any person, can feel risky. You're making yourself vulnerable to be hurt and disappointed. And the people that I meet that are occasionally hurt by God because they thought the Holy Spirit told them something that didn't turn out the way they thought, or the way they expect, or they believe that God would show up in a certain way and he hasn't, and those people are confused and hurt and maybe sometimes angry. Some of those people are the people that are most deeply connected and intimate with God, because we get hurt by the people we love the most and the people we've been loved by well, right? If we've been loved well, we start to expect more. And so when they let us down, we're hurt. So you're in good company if that's you. If you're like a little bummed out at God, if you're a little disappointed, if you're confused, because that means you expect a lot from him. He's loved you well, and you expect to be loved well. And so that's a sign of your intimacy. And often the level of vulnerability and intimacy we experience with God will mirror the level of vulnerability and intimacy we experience with each other. Now, to be clear, there's no person or group of people that can be Jesus for you. John 10:16 says, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." So the flock will point you to the shepherd. The shepherd will partner with the flock to grow you and speak into your life, but they cannot replace the shepherd, nor be enough apart from the shepherd. There's only one Savior. However, your experience with the shepherd, your intimacy with the Holy Spirit, does correlate with your experience and intimacy with the flock, with your faith community, with the church. So you can absolutely experience the Holy Spirit by yourself. In fact, I think it's a necessity that you have a private prayer life with God, where you spend time alone with him. Jesus certainly modeled that, often slipping away to be alone with his Father. We need silence and solitude with God by ourselves. We need these experiences. But these experiences with God in our private life are strengthened and supported by our communal experiences of the Holy Spirit. And so on that note, I actually want to invite a brave soul who's Regina, who's being willing to be vulnerable with us today, to share a story to kind of demonstrate the ways that God meets with us as we kind of come together. And so, Regina, if you want to come on up, and Talita's going to come up and translate for her, because her Spanish is her first language, and so it's a little easier for her to share from her heart in her first language. And just not all of you know Regina. She's newer to our church, and, you know, Regina kind of came to our church after going through a really painful heart experience and just really began to experience the love and the presence of God here and began to really start to change her heart and her life in lots of ways. And so a couple of weeks ago, we were in community prayer. Some of you know we meet in the mornings and also on Thursday nights to pray together in community. And this is one of the ways that God speaks. He'll sometimes bring a verse to mind. And he brought to my mind the verse from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I felt like it was for someone in the room, and I sensed it was for Regina. And then she began to share some things that were going on in her life. And so, is this on? And, yep. And so, Regina, can you want to just share with us a little bit about what was happening in that moment and in your life that you brought up to share with us?
Bueno, pues, yo estaba pasando por un momento muy trágico de mi vida. Mi hermano falleció y era un hermano que yo amaba mucho. Y todo ese trauma, y yo vine aquí y empecé a acercarme a Dios. Y eso me trajo muchas pesadillas. Me sentía con mucho miedo y pues no entendía por qué, si se supone que acercarte a Dios te trae más felicidad, y a mí me traía mucha ansiedad y mucho miedo. Eso me traía muchas pesadillas también. Entonces, ese día que estábamos orando, me vino a la mente todas esas pesadillas y todas esas angustias que yo sentía que no podía compartir con mi familia porque, pues por el mismo miedo de no querer transmitirle lo que yo sentía, no por desconfianza, sino por amor a ellos.
So obviously there's a lot there. So she's sharing that she came to this church because of the tragic loss of her brother, whom she loved very much, and that she was, you know, she was like experiencing positive things here and growing closer to God, but she was experiencing a lot of nightmares, and she was like confused, like she was like, I should be happier if I'm, you know, experiencing all these things from God. So when she was in community prayer and Rebecca had heard that verse, she was picturing all of these nightmare images that she didn't want to share with her family because she didn't want to sort of pass that fear to them. Hay algo más, o sea, hay algo más que debo agregar que como que se que okay, está bien.
So we began praying for Regina. The few of us that were in there, oftentimes like nightmares and night terrors repeated. They can come from trauma, but they're demonic. They're openings for the enemy to bug you and try to scare you and disturb you. And I had had similar kinds of experiences. And so we felt like God wanted to set her free from that. And so we began praying for her. And you just want to share a little bit about what you were experiencing as we began praying for you and then moving into the service, kind of what was happening maybe in your mind or your body during that time.
Bueno, pues, cuando ella empezó a orar para mí, al principio tenía mucho miedo y me dolía mucho la cabeza. Me empezó a doler mucho la cabeza porque me daba mucho miedo. Y estas son cosas que realmente no le he platicado a nadie porque pues no quiero transmitir ese miedo a mi familia. No quiero que ellos se sientan como yo me siento, como me sentí en ese momento. Muchas cosas pasaron por mi mente, muchas de las pesadillas que tenía, que tenían que ver con mi familia y conmigo también. Yo sentía la presencia que alguien me perseguía y a mí me daba mucho miedo. Perdón. Y pues realmente yo no entendía lo que estaba pasando. Me acordé de un sueño muy feo que tuve y desperté a mi esposo llorando. Y creo que fue la primera vez que yo compartí esos sueños tan feos que yo tenía. Y eso fue parte de lo que vino a mi mente cuando ella estaba orando por mí.
The first thing that she felt was fear and a headache, and like in particular the fear like of these images, like terrible images of like her affecting her family and affecting her, these things that she didn't want to share. She didn't want other people to sort of have those images. She hadn't spoken about them. There was one time where she woke up crying and told her husband that was, so she was remembering that also when they were praying, was remembering all of those images and all of that fear in the prayer.
Yeah, so we had to kind of wrap up at that time because service was about to start. So we came in, I said, you know, just sit in God's presence and continue to soak him in. And after service was coming to an end, I came over and asked how she was feeling. And if I remember correctly, I think she was feeling some discomfort in her stomach. Something was painful in her stomach. And so I just had a sense that God, you know, wanted to set her free. And there was more that God wanted to do. And so Greg and I brought her over to pray for her. Do you want to share a little bit about that experience?
Bueno, pues cuando ya estábamos orando aquí con Greg y con Rebecca, al principio como que no podía dejarme ir. Me pasó mucho tiempo que yo sentía que me quería caer, orando sola, orando con personas, pero yo como que me resistía, tenía mis pies muy duros para no caer. Y ese día, pues, dije, yo creo que Dios lo que quiere es liberarme, quiere que yo entienda que Él está conmigo y que gracias a la ayuda de las personas que están a mi alrededor, yo he podido encontrar una relación más cercana a Dios. Entonces, cuando me dejé caer y lo expreso como cuando por fin dejé que el amor de Dios entrara a mí. Dios me mostró cosas muy lindas que yo he querido que pasen y que espero que pasen. Y si no pasa, está bien también. Pero me mostró muchas cosas buenas, muchas cosas positivas y sentí como si me quitaran un gran peso de encima. Como cuando uno está muy cansado y siente que tus hombros están súper pesados, eso se fue completamente. Y es que no les puedo explicar la paz que sentí porque fue algo que yo jamás había experimentado.
The first thing that she felt that she had been feeling before was like that she wanted to fall. She says she had kept her feet like very hard, like she didn't like sort of not letting herself fall, but she felt like that wanting to fall was a way that the Lord was showing her that he was with her. And so she let herself fall, and she says that as she did, like she did know that the Lord was with her, and he showed her many beautiful things, showed her his love for her, that she felt that love more than she'd felt it before. Había dos otras cosas que dijiste que no sé si te acuerdas de lo que no he dicho. She says that she had never felt a peace like that before.
All right, thank you so much. So, Regina, after that day that we prayed for you and you felt God's love and peace, how did you feel afterwards, or has anything changed for you since that time?
Bueno, pues, sí. No tengo tanto miedo como lo tenía antes. Aún tengo pesadillas, pero ya no tengo ese terror que tenía al principio cuando las tenía. Me ha ayudado a acercarme más a mi familia. en una manera como expresar mis sentimientos, lo que realmente siento. Me costaba mucho trabajo decirles todo lo que yo sentía porque mi hermano había fallecido. Yo no quería decirles nada, me lo aguardaba todo para mí por temor a que ellos sintieran ese mismo sentimiento que me estaba consumiendo. Entonces, una de las cosas que Dios me mostró cuando yo me caí fue mi familia, que ellos estaban ahí para protegerme y no para juzgarme ni para tener miedo.
She says that she feels much less fear now, like that there still are some nightmares, but there's not the terror that there used to be. And that one of the things that she like saw or felt when she fell was like her family, and that her family is not there like to judge her or like to give her more to fear, that they're supporting her and loving her, and that after this prayer that she's been more able to share some feelings with them that she had been hesitant to share before because she didn't want to give that same fear to them.
Regina, thank you so much for sharing with us. Can we give her a round of applause for being so vulnerable and open? What a blessing. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's beautiful. Thank you. The reason I asked Regina to share was a few reasons. I wanted to illustrate the point of how the community works together, like how God works in the context of community. He sees Regina. She's like the mama fox. She's being attacked from an enemy source, right? Like she's being messed with. And God's heart for us is to set us free to go after us. And so he uses the community to do that. He brings this issue up in a safe space where his presence is. And then we come together. We don't necessarily know exactly what we're doing, but we're just putting our hands to what we think the Holy Spirit's doing. We're just following his lead. And he does the rest, right? Like, we didn't have the power to bring that kind of peace and freedom and love over Regina. We just were like partnering, fumbling around the best of our ability to partner with what the Holy Spirit was doing. And that's all it really looks like. And it's an ongoing process, right? Like, the Lord wants for Regina to have no more nightmares. And so we just keep praying. We just keep praying. Often our freedom comes in bits and bits over time. And I didn't know this part of her story until just now, but how beautiful that God didn't want to just set her free from the fear, but also wanted to bring even deeper restoration with her relationship with her family. And he also used that moment to open the door up for more connection with her family. And so this whole idea of intimacy and vulnerability with the Holy Spirit will often mirror our ways of connecting with each other. We can't separate them out. Jesus, when he came as a human, chose to identify with his bride for all eternity. We are linked together, even though that can be a frustrating thought at times, because the church can be a frustrating place, right? Like, we're not fully glorified people yet. We're still working all our kinks out. And so we can get hurt by each other at times. And yet this is how the Holy Spirit is chosen to build his kingdom here on earth. To the good shepherd has decided that the sheep are good enough for him. And he's given his life for the sheep and asked us to give our lives back and to trust him enough to follow him. And so Regina put herself in spaces with others to experience more of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so ultimately, this is what it looks like. Intimacy with the good shepherd, what it looks like in community. You put yourself in rooms where you might encounter his spirit. Corporate worship, like we're doing right now, like we do on our worship nights, in life groups, in community prayer. You get real with each other. You let your guard down. You are vulnerable. You take risks that you might get hurt or disappointed. And then you bring those experiences into your private life and your private prayer life of the Holy Spirit. John 10:14 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So our faith, our trust, our dependency on the person of the Holy Spirit is anchored in his goodness. The intimacy we can experience with the Holy Spirit is available to us because the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus made a way for us to have intimacy with the triune God by laying down his life for us. He opened that door on the cross. The temple of the curtain was torn in two. So this is not about getting it right all the time. This is about confidence in God's goodness, his mercy, and his grace. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. On that note, why don't we stand together and take communion together? If you're a follower of Jesus, we have an open communion table, and we invite you as we come together to celebrate that the way has been made for us to come into the throne room with confidence to receive mercy and grace in our time of need. And so you can just grab a communion elements at the table. If you're with us at home, you can gather the elements at home. We come together as community. And we say not only do we now have the way to be vulnerable and intimate with God, but God has made a way for us to be intimate with each other. Because as he has poured out forgiveness into our hearts, we are now empowered to forgive each other. As he's poured grace into our hearts, we now can have grace for each other. So as the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body broken for you. Every time you eat this, do this in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread together. In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, and as he poured out the wine, he said, this is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins, poured out for the covenant, the new covenant of grace, where you can walk freely and lightly in my grace. Let's take the cup together. And so, Lord, we just come together with full of gratitude that you made a way. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep, for his flock, so that we could be intimate with you, that we could enter the throne room with grace, and we could have intimacy with each other. That Regina could feel vulnerable to allow herself to share her heart with us, and that we could pray for her, and she could receive the Holy Spirit, however the Holy Spirit wanted to show up. So I pray for more and more of that kind of freedom. And as we come into your presence, that we can receive the mercy and the grace that we need in the time of our need. And so we welcome you to this space. We say, have your way with us today, with the rest of our time together, Lord. I pray for more and more freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, one of the other reasons I asked Regina to share her story, and if you were in the room, and she talked about falling, she literally fell completely over onto the floor. And that's sometimes the way the Holy Spirit shows up, especially if he's bringing a huge amount of peace. Sometimes your physical body will be so overcome with his presence and his peace that you can't stand up. And a lot of times we feel like that's so weird and scary and awkward. And it's actually just God's love for you. Just his love. Just his desire for you to have less fear, less anxiety. It's a desire to set you free. And so as Talit and I were praying this morning before the service, I felt the Lord, even as I was walking into the church today, I said, God, what are you doing today? What do you have for us? And I just felt like he said, I want to set people free. And so I don't know all the things that means. My sense that there may even be someone else in the room that also struggles with nightmares or night terrors. Some of you may just you carry around a lot of fear in your gut. You can also feel it in your gut. Maybe some of you are struggling with addictions. These are just places that the enemy keeps us oppressed, These are strongholds in our lives. And then he piles shame on top of it. And so you're afraid to talk about it. You're afraid to ask for help. And that's how he keeps it hidden. So God's mercy in community is to bring things to the light, bring things to the surface. The Holy Spirit can set you free. We are all in the same boat of needing freedom. We all have places that the enemy likes to keep us down. And so I'm going to just pray today, that God's grace and freedom will allow you to be vulnerable and take risks and just bring the stuff to the surface and allow us just put our hands to what the Holy Spirit is doing, which is to set you free. And so as we move into a time of worship, if there was something as Regina was talking that was just like opening something up for you, like I have felt that kind of fear, or I feel like I'm just held in bondage by an addiction or something that I can't get free myself. Like, this is too much for me to untangle. I need a power bigger than me to set me free. We want to come alongside and just pray for you and then put our hands to what the Holy Spirit's doing in faith that his desire is for your freedom. And so we'll have a prayer ministry team to my left, your right, in the back that would love to come alongside and pray for you. And I'm just going to pray for us, all of us, as we head into a time of worship. I just want to read this Hebrews 4:16 again. Let us then approach God's throne of grace, unmerited favor, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, with confidence. We don't come having it all together. We come under the blood of Jesus and the freedom that bought for us. So we come with our authentic, true selves so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. If you have a time of need and you need mercy and grace, come with confidence and receive from God today. So, Lord, I just pray you would just come in power. You would just invade our lives the way you're invading Regina's life. I pray that you give us the grace to just tell the truth. Whatever our time, whatever we're in need of, that we would ask for it to you and for each other. Because that just opens it up more. That's like another layer of vulnerability. And so I pray for the freedom for us to tell the truth and ask for what we need from each other. And I just pray you'd come in power today, meet people right where they are and give them everything they need from you, God. Just come in your love. Just increase your intimacy with us. Just have your way with the rest of our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Come and receive prayer.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.